In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Many years ago, whenever I was a young boy, my family and I used to take camping trips out to Alley Spring Campground every summer. That was out near Eminence, Missouri. And one night, when we were camping, there were several of us that were awoken by great flashes of light that were occurring outside, repeated flashes of light. And so we poked our heads outside of our tents to see what was going on and saw that it was lightning flashing over and over and over again. But the interesting thing was, is that there was no sound. There was no thunder. There was no rain. There was no wind. No sound at all. It was complete silence as these flashes of light continued repeatedly. But at each flash of lightning, we could look around the entire campground and we could see everything. It was as if it was daylight for just a brief moment. In today's gospel, we hear of the unique event of the transfiguration of our Lord. Why do we read of this magnificent event of the transfiguration account during the Lenten season? It seems kind of odd, because after all, shouldn't we be reading about penance and sacrifice and conversion? However, if we look at the transfiguration event in its proper context, we realize that it is most appropriate for the Lenten season, because as we progress through these holy penitential days leading up to the celebration of Easter, the culmination of the church year, the Catholic Church points to this lightning strike found in the Gospels, which illuminates the mission of the Son of God and manifests his divinity, the one who is to be sacrificed for our salvation. But it was not of human origins, but rather of the divine, because only a divine Redeemer could ever save us. A few verses preceding this passage of the Transfiguration, Christ foretells his own death and resurrection. St. Matthew tells us, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem to suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised. St. Peter, after our Lord says this, then reprimands our Lord, as if he forgot Christ's prediction that he was going to rise from the dead. St. Peter says to him, God forbid, Lord, that shall never happen to you. And then our Lord immediately, emphatically and bluntly rebukes St. Peter, saying to him, get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not on the side of God, but on the side of men. Our Lord says this so bluntly to St. Peter because our Lord knows that the devil hates the cross. And the devil wants to place any sort of a stumbling block in front of our Lord, because he hates the cross of Christ. He hates suffering for the sake of salvation. And so Christ calls Peter Satan, because he is denying the cross, which is the instrument of the devil's defeat. Following this, our Lord says to his apostles, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. I think this must have been a little bit puzzling, and maybe even somewhat despairing, to the apostles whenever they heard our Lord say these words. We must take up a cross in order to follow you? Who would want to do that? And to what purpose should we have to suffer to take up our cross and follow you? You, Jesus, do not seem worthy of being followed if that is the requisite for following you. But in order to prove himself, to give a small glimpse of who he was, and in order to ease the minds of his apostles, Christ gives to them a lightning strike. He reveals to them that he is not merely a man. He's not merely a prophet like Elijah or a teacher or lawgiver like Moses, both of whom Christ appears with in this event today. But our Lord reveals to them that he is God, that he is fully divine and fully human in one divine person. And so our Lord transfigures himself before three of his closest apostles, Peter, the prince of the apostles, John the beloved, and his brother James. St. Matthew tells us his face shone like the sun and his clothes became white as light. And in this moment of glory and majesty, St. Peter cries out, Lord, it is good that we are here. And if you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. St. Peter, in this moment, wanted to prolong this heavenly experience. He wanted to remain there in that moment of glory, that moment of consolation, that moment of peace with his divine master. And who wouldn't want to? And out of the cloud, the apostles hear a voice, a thundering voice of the Father speaking from heaven, saying to them, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." In other words, Christ is not merely to be admired. He is not simply a wise man with a bunch of feel-good sayings, but he is to be listened to and to be followed all the way to heaven. Peter, James, and John, in that moment, wanted to remain up on the mountain in the comfort and in the glory of that moment, and rightfully so. But in order to show them that their glory is to come through trial and suffering, God says to them, "Listen to him." And then the vision disappears, and they all return down the mountain and eventually to Jerusalem, where Christ would be handed over, just as he said, to suffer and to die for our salvation, and just as he said, to rise on the third day. Throughout our journey of faith, we all have those transfiguration moments in which God seems to give little glimpses of himself to us. It might be something as simple as a beautiful sunset, something as beautiful as a newborn child, or an answer to prayer. Sometimes those random, unexplainable God moments that we have from time to time, or better yet, a spiritual experience of closeness to God that maybe we've never or rarely experienced, a consolation that brings hope and peace, not only to mention the great rich treasury that God gives to us through the example of his saints and through the many graces that come to us through the church. But God gives us these glimpses of himself, these consolations, these lightning strikes, so as to illuminate and strengthen us during times of darkness, during times of trial and suffering. God does not console us for our entertainment, but rather he consoles us for our encouragement, for our strengthening, for the increase of our generosity and suffering out of love for him, he who has so suffered for us. In St. Paul's second letter to St. Timothy, which is our second reading today, St. Paul urges, "Bear your share of hardship for the gospel with the strength that comes from God. He saved us and called us to a holy life, not according to our own works, but according to his own design and the grace bestowed on us in Christ Jesus before time began." He called us, St. Paul says, to a holy life, not according to what we decide makes a holy life, or what we decide will get us to heaven, but, as St. Paul says, according to his own design and the grace bestowed upon us in Jesus Christ. And yes, that includes times in our lives whenever things aren't going our way or fit our fancy. It is in those moments and those experiences, brothers and sisters, that we must remember the transfiguration. That is, the glory and the joy that is to come in serving God, even if sometimes we don't understand why certain things happen, why certain things happen to us or to others. But we must remember this moment of transfiguration, encouraging us to remember the glory and the joy that is to come who are faithful to God to the end. But during this Lenten season, it can be easy for us, perhaps, become gloomy or even fall into some sort of a loss of hope, or even make our sacrifices and our penances and almsgiving something that is simply what we have to do because it's the Lenten season. But this event of the Transfiguration that we hear in the gospel, this lightning strike in the midst of our journey of the Lenten season, reminds us that it is all about God, and that all of our penances and our practices of prayer do have a purpose. The purpose, ultimately, of growing stronger and deeper in our faith, deeper in our relationship with God, who is at the end of the narrow way that we as Christians traverse down in this life, and is the only path that we must take in order to get to heaven. But on this second Sunday of Lent, let us step back and take a look at our Lenten resolutions, whatever they may be, and let us consider this. Are these Lenten resolutions truly helping me to be a better Christian? Or am I giving up something or doing something extra, just because it's Lent? But in order to root out sin in our lives and excel in the Christian life and to grow in the sanctity and holiness that God calls us to, we must not simply resolve to serve Christ just during Lent or just once a week on Sundays, living a holy life according to our own ways and our own works. But these days of Lent are these days of disciplining the body, performing works of charity and strengthening our prayer lives, especially having recourse to our Lord and to Our Lady and the saints, are there to aid us for the day-to-day living out of our baptismal promises, to serve the one true God, to resist the temptations and the wicked snares of the devil, and to follow Christ alone, instead of following the emptiness that the world has to offer us. So may our Lenten practices, brothers and sisters, truly transfigure us to be better followers of Jesus Christ, of whom the Father has said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.